a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Good morning. I'm Bernie Hanna from the House Minority Leader, joined by Jason Frerichs, my good buddy and the leader of the Democrats over in the Senate. And we first of all want to thank South Dakota Public Broadcasting for this opportunity. South Dakota Public Broadcasting is a really important presence out here in the legislature as far as getting the word out to people around the state, and this is especially a good opportunity. So we thank you. Well, we're on the downhill slope of the 89th legislative session, over halfway, and I think the tone and the atmosphere is very good out here, and hopefully we can finish up with a good 4 weeks and get some good things done. I just want to touch very briefly on three subjects that I think are of interest around the state. Jason's got a couple of quick points to make, and we'll take your questions. On school funding hasn't been quite as heated. The discussions have not been quite as heated as they have been in past years, but I assure the people around the state that we are talking a lot about school funding. Just came from House Taxation, where we had a very interesting bill from Dan Dryden, House Bill 1205, that related to equal funding for students across the state. So we're having a lot of discussions about how to correct the crisis that the legislature and the administration has created, I think, in school funding. And we're making some progress. One thing that's really turning heads out here is the fact that we have a real teacher shortage. And I think everybody's acknowledging that. They're hearing it from their school districts. And I don't hear any of my colleagues anymore saying the schools have enough money, or why do they need more money, or what for, which was much the rhetoric we heard before. So there's a recognition now that we're going to fix it. We're going to work together to fix it. And it's just a matter of how quickly we can do it and how well we can do it. The other big issue, I would say, would be the health care reform. Can we finally find a way to provide health insurance or health care coverage for all these folks who are, for the most part, working South Dakotans who just don't have the resources to get access to health care coverage? There are a number of bills related to expansion of Medicaid. Some of those bills, I'd like the public to know, are going to start hitting committees next week on February 19th. I think that's Tuesday, if I'm not mistaken. House Bill 1239 and House Bill 1244 will be in House Health and Human Services. And then on Friday in House State Affairs, Representative Parsley's bill will be heard. So there'll be three opportunities next week for South Dakotans to weigh in on that. You can testify by phone or in person. Don't expect a quick resolution of this. I suspect this is something that'll go on right till the very last day. Really, we can expand Medicaid, and probably the appropriate place to do it is in the general bill. So this is a discussion that'll probably go on right into the closing hours of the legislative session. With that, I think I'll just turn it on over to Jason, and he's got a few things to talk about, and we'll take your questions. Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you, Bernie, and certainly enjoyed when the Yankton crew was in town this week. I even got myself one of the 125 pictorial books. So, Bernie, thank you. As you say, being a good friend, I just hope I can get you to sign that, but we'll get to that point. So, good morning to everyone out there. Thanks for joining us this morning. And again, this is Jason Frerichs from Wilmot. I serve as a Senate Democratic leader. We've had a fair amount of excitement on the Senate side. I would say this week is when we finally got to the point where the session got a little more interesting, and I think interesting for the good. Obviously, each of us have our own issues that we're going to work through, and with various legislators, we may agree and disagree on other issues, and that's part of the beauty of this process. A couple of the issues that we've worked through, and most of those have rolled out later this week. One of them deals with the animal cruelty legislation, which is Senate Bill 46. That is expected to be on the floor today, this afternoon. We'll plan to have debate on that bill, which has been an awesome collective effort from our state veterinarian, Dr. Odekoven, who has corralled the troops together and put forth a quality piece of legislation that does make sure that there's a strong enough penalty for those that perform the most egregious acts, the extreme animal torture they would receive, that lowest felony, and then at the same time, very strong livestock production protections. So those it seems to be moving along quite nicely, but again, it's been a work in progress for many parties, and I've just enjoyed to be a part of ensuring that we move that bill forward. right now up in Ag Committee, and I hope to get up there soon. We'll have a wheat checkoff increase, and obviously that's targeted for research at South Dakota State University. But one of the issues that was fairly interesting for us yesterday in Senate State Affairs is the governor's plan to put some one-time dollars into building South Dakota on the front end here, $30 million, but only be able to appropriate $10 million a year for those 3 years, the next 3 years, you could say. We heard that bill along with its companion legislation that basically sets that 10% of budget reserves, and what's over that would flow into building South Dakota up until $15 million is in the Building South Dakota Fund. We didn't proceed with any action in Senate State Affairs yesterday. Obviously, many folks can see what's happening here. The governor has his plan for how he would like to fund Building South Dakota, and we as a legislature are proud of what we passed last year, and we stand behind what we put forth. Obviously, there's components of the governor's ideas that many of us like, especially establishing a goal and a number where to set those state budget reserves and then have the rest of that flow into funds that as we look at Building South Dakota, flow into five different areas that have a significant impact on our communities across this state. And lastly, I would just say on Medicaid expansion, The folks at the South Dakota Association of Healthcare Organizations, basically all of the hospitals across the state, commissioned a study out of the University of Nebraska at Kearney, and the numbers still continue to make the most logical sense for why we should proceed with Medicaid expansion. $64 million coming to our state treasury. Now, this is in tax revenue that's flowed back through our citizens throughout the state, $64 million over the next 7 years to our state's general fund. That's bigger than even what we hear on streamlining sales tax, in a sense. And so I think that's, or at least it competes with those numbers. And so we'll see how things shake out there. It obviously ends up being a $1 billion economic benefit to our state during those 7 years of time. And so, again, the numbers continue to make the most logical sense. As I've said before, if these were federal highway dollars, and we just had the AGC folks in this week, they're hungry for any, as we know that our roads are going to need help, just like the healthcare status of our state. So with that, we'll look forward to any of your questions. And again, I'm sure many are looking forward to a long weekend.
Question about an issue that's heard this morning in Senate Appropriations, dealing with the South Dakota High School Activities Association. There's been a lot of talk about that group and whether, to what degree, open meetings and open records laws should apply to it. But most of the public talk has been from leaders on the Republican side of the aisle. Democrats have been pretty quiet on that. Wanted to see where you two and your caucuses are standing on that issue.
Sure. No, and I support the efforts to create more openness and transparency. I think Democrats have been pretty supportive of any efforts to open up government and create more transparency. And that's a good place to work on. I don't think it's probably the most important place in state government to work on. Democrats have had other issues out here that we haven't had. We're supporting them on the Athletic Commission. I wish they would support us on some of the pay-to-play legislation, open caucuses, and some of the other things that are out here. So I think there are more pressing and more important open government issues facing the legislature, but it's good that we're working on that one.
Yep, and I would just simply add, I know Senator Sutton happens to share an office with me, and he definitely has been lobbied fairly hard on both sides of that issue. The folks at the Activities Association feel that their resolution they just recently passed is enough to show some very good guidance. I would just say that many of us can see that this leads into a bigger issue, and it's the issue of whether or not all of the state tournaments are going to end up in Sioux Falls, or if they're going to continue to be spread out into locations throughout our state. We take a lot of pride in our regional communities, and so that's just one more issue on this, but obviously we support the idea of more openness and have it be uniform across all levels of government. And that, again, comes back to, on a state level, we still need to continue to examine our open meetings laws that, from my standpoint, when we're in various meetings, I sometimes am wondering if the door is felt as open as possible. And obviously, I have yet to see anybody be said they're not welcome in just, you know, bipartisan meetings that I've been in. But at the same time, we want that level of comfort to be there for anyone, not only the media, but obviously general public, because our folks back in our communities, they can't always make that 4-hour trip to Pierre or 3 hours, whatever it may be. And so there's just that level of skepticism from those folks wondering, you know, how do things work? And they just simply want to know the process and know how they can be engaged at any level. And again, as Representative Hunoff mentioned at the start, we're thankful for the folks at Public Broadcasting, because they do open up the lines of communication. And I know as we've been debating the Senate Bill 169 on the non-meandered waters public access, they're listening out there. Maybe they're listening in a cafe, maybe they're listening at home, but they keep track of what we are doing.
If I could just ask a question real quick to both of you, or whatever one feels more comfortable. Ask the question to the Republicans, but what is each of your opinions on net metering legislation?
You know, the net metering legislation, I think I didn't follow how it turned out today. I don't know if they even finished action on the bill, but I would say that from my standpoint, when it comes to small or community wind type of projects, I challenge my friends in the electric industry, whether they're investor-owned or rural utilities, that they shouldn't always just be throwing out the red herring arguments that it's automatically going to cost all the taxpayers a tremendous amount of money. I think when you have that homegrown energy available, whether it's solar, wind, perhaps even there may be a new style of methane digestion, utilizing livestock to a component to produce electricity, all of those areas are great to have local ability to produce that energy. We see right now with the sky-high propane prices, if there were ways and more to have electric generation, it would be pretty easy for folks to shift more to the electric route than the propane side of things, because many of our homes are dual fuel if they do have that propane component. So just from that standpoint, it's more of an energy security argument, but we want to have policy from a state perspective that obviously encourages those people to take a risk and be willing to be bold enough to venture out on those smaller energy developments that are most of the time either on a farm or in a home community. But at the same time, we want to have equitable policy that doesn't encourage companies to just set up all these little locations and then try to capture on a margin increase that wouldn't be fair to the consumers. So that's why we're fortunate to have a Public Utilities Commission that does regulate at least some of the utilities. And obviously from a state perspective, we have to continue to set policy that's respectful of those interests.
Yeah, no, I think Jason said it very well. You know, if we want to encourage innovation in energy, you know, the greater community, the state, has a pretty good track record of providing some sort of subsidies, startup subsidies, to get innovations going and encouraging it. And you know, I think the legislature has been very patient, trying to find some kind of compromise that the electrical utilities are comfortable with, and they've been saying no year after year after year. So I think that patience I sense that patience is starting to run thin. Many other states have found some kind of a net metering compromise, and I really challenge our utility companies to not just keep saying no, but come up with something that works for them, because at some point I think the legislature is going to act, and I don't know if it'll be this year. I wish it was this year, but it's time we did it here in South Dakota.
General question, wondering what you two think is the biggest issue that's not getting a lot of attention. Is going on behind the scenes, or isn't getting the attention that you think is really significant? Obviously, you're talking about Medicaid, it gets a lot of attention and things like that, but what's going on that's not getting that?
You know, what we haven't read about in the media or heard on the media yet, it would be the Building South Dakota issue that's, you know, somewhat... I know the folks in this room are well acquainted with it, but that was a really significant accomplishment last year, and it
developed over the course of a number of years, where we had some big disagreements about the top-down approach to economic development out here, and Democrats thought that we needed a more grassroots approach, a broader effort for economic development. And then it came to a head when they passed another economic development corporate incentive program that we referred to a vote of the people. The people agreed with the Democrats and ended that program when we referred it. So we came back last session in what could have been, you know, just more debate and more controversy, but instead legislative leaders and the legislature as a whole came together with a really significant piece of legislation, Building South Dakota. We just talked about openness, created much more openness and transparency in the economic development process, declared that good jobs and higher wages should be the foremost goal, and greatly recognized that there's a lot more to economic development than just corporate incentives, that it's about grassroots startups, and it's about higher wages, and it's about education, and about affordable housing, all those things. So that was really significant, and it took a lot of work. And everybody gave some, and some of us now view the administration's effort to pre-fund the program as an effort to kill the program in the future, because it has a good, ongoing, steady funding source. So that's, a really big issue. It would be really sad for South Dakota if all that work was in vain over the last really 5 or 6 years that led up to this compromise. And I'm hoping that we can reach a compromise with the administration. You know, they bring up, they have legitimate issues and ideas about how to fund the program. So it's not that we won't budge, but clearly we need a good, solid, ongoing funding source.
I'd just add that during our discussion yesterday in Senate State Affairs, I had the chance to feel what it's like to be an appropriator just for a few minutes by looking at some of the numbers, and it very much intrigued me to look at the comparison to the governor's plan of pre-funding Building South Dakota and what that does in terms of funding education. But at the same time, look at what we passed last year and the effects of how that program has the overall goal is to place 30% of the dollars that flow into Building South Dakota directly to workforce education. Obviously, the English is a second language, the career tech education, and then flowing directly to the schools on a per-student basis. When we look at our plan, which was Democrats, Republicans last year, and still I think many of us believe in that, if you look at the legislative plan, you look at the governor's plan, there's a $10 million difference. Well, the $10 million difference essentially is the property taxes paid. The governor's plan obviously flows those dollars through the formula, which encourages that matching from with a local effort. The state side is 53%. So there's a number of ways you can obviously shift the numbers around to look like they're going to be favorable to one way or the other. In the end, with the governor's plan, where he has more dollars available to flow to the schools, it directly comes back to the property taxpayers to be involved and on the hook. Now, there's much debate about which is the correct way to fund our schools, whether they're going to have more flexibility in capital outlay or just encourage them to opt out or whatever it may be in terms of those property taxes. But just so that folks are aware, Commissioner Dilders didn't dispute that fact. When I asked him about the comparison, he obviously said that the governor would prefer that those dollars flow through the formula and not be as much focused on the Building South Dakota side of things.
Are there any questions from callers?
All right.
Appreciate the time.
Thank you. Weekend.